Hey everybody,
I just want to take a quick second to bring up a problem that not enough dentists are aware of. This is something that every practice needs to look into, but it doesn't get the attention it should. In fact, this could be the single biggest barrier to getting patients through your door. I'm talking, of course, about the appointment scheduling process. Most patients say convenience is the number one factor in scheduling a dentist appointment. And we all know that most people, especially young people, expect to be able to do this online. They can book flights online, they can go shopping online, they can even get degrees online. Why can't they get a dentist appointment online? Now, you're probably saying, they can, I have online scheduling. But do you? Lots of dentists think they offer online scheduling to their patients, but unfortunately, most of those dentists are wrong. They don't have online appointment scheduling. They have online appointment requests. And that's not playing with semantics. There's a huge, huge difference, guys. Most services that say they provide online scheduling are really just a glorified email to your front desk. Once you have that email request, you still have to reach out to the patient as many times as it takes for them to pick up a call from an unfamiliar number and do the age-old thing all over again, which is, hey, will Friday at 3 work? Okay, how about next Tuesday at noon? Okay, what about Wednesday at blah, 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 blah? You know how it goes. So this goes on and on until the patient says, okay, yeah, let me check with my husband or wife about next week and I'll call back. Maybe they really will call back. Maybe it'll all work out. Maybe, just maybe, they may bring back The Office for one more season. Who knows? Don't leave it up to chance, guys. There's a better way to do online scheduling, and it's called Local Med. Local Med is dentistry's first and only real online scheduling platform because their technology integrates directly with your practice management software. That means patients can see available appointments in real time and book them directly into your schedule, just like your front desk does. This means no phone tag, no double booking, and no losing new patients to anybody else. Patients see the time they want, they click it, and they get it. Done. Bada bing, bada boom. That's it, guys. Best of all, you stay in control. Patients can only book during times that you mark as available. They can't get an appointment if you don't want them to have one. They can even fill out insurance forms as they schedule, streamlining the process for everyone. Hundreds of dentists in our community have already tried it and loved it, especially because the average Local Med client gets a 33-to-1 return on their investment. Whew! That's the way online scheduling should be, guys. In fact, nothing else is really online scheduling. Try it for yourself today by visiting www.localmed.com and tell them me, Michael, sent you, and you can get 10% off your setup fee. Or if you want, just go in the show notes below and click on the link, and that will automatically give you 10% off your setup fee. What's up, guys? Welcome to another segment or episode or chapter or to the new program of Just Listen. Sorry, guys, I've been pretty sick, and I really don't ever admit that I'm sick. I always just say I have the allergies, but dang, these allergies hit me really hard. So anyways, in this episode, I speak with Dr. Richard Lowe and Drew Sparks. And you guys already know Richard. And you might know our new partners, Drew Sparks. They're he has a company called SwellCX, and they're partnered up with us now. So me and Richard, and they're also partnered up with Shared Practices now as well. So what we do is we kind of like just pick Drew's brain, and we talk about a lot of controversy, what we're hearing about with other review companies and so forth. So, yeah. So guys, I hope you enjoy this episode. It in, guys. This is like another segment of Just Listen, pretty much.
Okay, so you start us off. This is your show.
All right, guys. I have on the podcast Richard from, everybody knows Richard already. I don't even know why I need to introduce you, from Shared Practices.
No, plug my show.
Richard from Shared Practices. And
yes,
do you have a course out or no?
Oh, we have two courses. We have the Ownership Accelerator, which is how to acquire a practice, and then we've got our case acceptance course, which we launched a few months ago. Both of those we do kind of launches on, so they're not like always available, but if people jump on our mailing list, we'll let you know next time we open those up.
I was totally kidding about plugging you in, but all right, man, go go ahead. And then we have Drew Sparks from Swell CX. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's happening? Happy to be here.
Yeah, man, happy to have you. And so basically,
I wish I had a podcast to introduce or to plug, maybe down the road.
Maybe, yeah.
You have a company, so that's
yeah,
like,
that's true.
Yeah, you know, that's fun.
If you did create a podcast, though, what would it be about?
And well, Swell power users for one, reviews are big. Two is maybe like Swell for adrenaline junkies, and we can talk about mountain biking and snowboarding.
So I want to start this off. We need to thoroughly make fun of the name Swell so that people will remember it, because my co-host was like, man, I am freaking loving Swell. And then like 20 minutes later, I'd be like, what was the name of that company? And he's like, Swell. And I was like, okay. And then like an hour later, I'm like, George, what was the name of that company again that you really like now? And he's like, it's Swell, Richard. So I've started thinking of like,
yeah,
you know, it, you've got the, yeah, the wave as a logo.
Yeah.
So
it's a whale, isn't it? Or a wave?
You know, it's up for interpretation. It's a whale, but yeah, there could be some wave interpretation in there. And well, there's some irony behind that. I mean, mostly because we're based out of Utah, where no whales exist, and there's definitely nothing close to an ocean close to us. And
no waves on the Great Salt Lake there.
No, the Great Salt Lake is like literally the one place in Utah I've never been and never like will never visit. So but my co-founder is from Southern California, grew up as a surfer. It's kind of his scene. So we like the name Swell. It's got it, you know, we thought it was memorable. You know, now I'm hearing some feedback that may not be.
I don't know why. It just wouldn't stick in my brain. Like, I asked him probably five separate times on different occasions. We're going to remedy this because I'm not done making fun of it, but keep going.
No, and that's really it. He was from California. We're like, let's talk about growing your business. How do we increase your customer base? How do we, you know, like, you know, it's essentially swelling your customer base and making your business grow. And then it came from his kind of surfer background, and then the whale came into picture, and I don't know, here we are. Short name, we're trying to make it easy to remember, and that's about it. Not a better story behind it than that.
It's not like swale. Like, I feel like if there's a whale in the logo, it should be swale.
True. Freaking Richard, man. Swale. Jeez.
So the way that I remember it now is that, like, gee, that's Swell. Like, we're from the 1920s. Like,
neato.
Man, what a swell company. Like, so I think it works so many ways.
Is it Swell, Drew, or Swell CX?
It's funny you ask. It's Swell CX is our domain. CX is in customer experience. Mm-hmm. We're realizing that, you know, that's kind of harder to remember as well. So we're trying to rebrand ourselves as just Swell, keeping our domain because we're a customer experience platform. Anyway, so just Swell. But now I know if I ever make a podcast, it will be called Swale. So I'm there.
Yes.
Swale. Just Swell. Okay. Man, how is that hard to remember? Swell CX? I don't know.
It just wouldn't stick in my brain. But now our listeners are like so sick of us talking about this that they will never forget. So you're welcome.
We've probably lost half of them by now too. But
okay, fine. Then we get to brag about Swell so that they actually stick around. So
yeah.
My co-host George, his favorite thing in the world is when a product or a service is so good and so automatic that it requires like no extra effort or input. Mm-hmm. Like if he could turn our podcast into like an automatic podcast that didn't require our input, he would.
Radio?
Yeah, no, but unfortunately, it requires a person speaking into a mic, so there's no way to do that. So his big thing was, George was previously using, I think, BirdEye, but I could be misquoting, but let's just say it was BirdEye, and was getting like 6 to 7 new reviews per month. And he really didn't want to focus on like training his team. Like, there's only so many changes. You know, he's in his first 9 months of practice ownership, straight out of dental school. Oh. His front desk team is pretty maxed out. Like, they've added new hygienists and a new provider. So now there's 3 docs, or 2.5, kind of, because his wife just had a baby. More hygienists, more patients coming through, but he hasn't added someone at the front desk, and therefore doesn't want to be like throwing a bunch of extra things on their plate. They've really focused on case acceptance. So the clinical team, the assistants and the hygienists, that's their focus. So if you're like trying to get your team to like focus on case acceptance and the customer experience and asking for reviews and this, that, and the other, like, he just like didn't want to have to add one more thing to their plate. So switched from BirdEye to Swell just around the beginning of this year, 2019. And he just is freaking loving it. So he went from 6 to 7 reviews a month to like 21 reviews per month. And it's like a review per day. He's like, per business day open, we end up like getting a review at least. And now they have gone from being the number 2 rated kind of local dentist in that area to they've surpassed the number 1 rated guy. And he is the number 1 Google rated dentist. That office is the number 1 rated in his area.
Wow, dude. How does that happen? What's the difference, I guess? You know what I mean? Because some people think like, okay, you're just literally sending a link to write a review.
Yeah.
So yeah. What's the difference?
If Drew tells us, he'll have to kill you.
Okay.
True.
It's worth it. I'm just kidding.
The secret sauce. Yeah, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot that's different. And we know that there's a lot of tools out there that do something similar. Mm-hmm. You know, writing or getting reviews for a dental practice or for any business is, we think, you know, extremely important. Making it as easy as possible to get your customers to do that is the hard thing. Everybody, you know, every patient, every customer says that they're willing to leave you a review. But very few people, as soon as they walk out the door, they've already forgotten that they told you that. Getting them to search for your business, search for your practice online, sign into Google. I mean, there's too many barriers involved, and patients don't understand the weight of their reviews, that their reviews actually carry, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not going to go out of their way to do it. But really, yeah, if you can get 1, 2, 3 new reviews per day, that can make a huge difference to your practice or any business for that matter. And so that's what we focus on. So it's making it as easy as possible to get your patients to do it, making it totally hands-off if you want it to be. So we've kind of perfected the automation, working with different practice management softwares, and then we're constantly adjusting, tweaking, adding features, finding out what works, what doesn't work, what time we should send these links, how we can follow up, what's the best language to use, you know, making sure that every time someone clicks on our link, it takes them as quickly as possible to that review site, a bunch of different things. So it's not like one, you know, we don't have this magic thing. We're not buying reviews from India, a little joke for the show.
Yeah. Maybe you should.
Do companies do that? Do companies do that for real or no?
You should buy some podcast reviews.
I don't know. I was thinking about that.
There's a service where you can like, for $5, buy like 40 podcast reviews from Malaysia.
I know there's you can buy followers, right? From
I'm sure you can buy Instagram followers. Like, there's so many, like, but like, Google has had a history of catching on to and shutting down that kind of stuff. So it's like, there's been eras, just like when like backlinking used to work. Like, the biggest thing for SEO was that you get a bunch of other websites to like link back to your website, and you link to other big websites, and all that cross-linking like makes this magic SEO juice. And now that totally doesn't work anymore. And so it's like Google catches on when people start doing fishy stuff like that. Is that correct, Drew? Because you're actually the expert and I'm just making up crap.
Well, yeah, exactly. Those algorithms are smarter than we'll ever be, you know. There's nothing, they catch on to that stuff immediately. Not just Google too. Consumers are just as smart. Just like you said, you know that you can buy reviews. If I'm a consumer, like, I can spot fake reviews the second I look at the two most recent reviews. What's funny is we didn't think people did this anymore either. We're like, oh, you can't buy reviews anymore. We literally came across a company 2 days ago as we were doing a little bit of research that had a, you know, like 200 reviews on Google, which isn't a crazy amount. It's totally realistic. But when you look at their reviews, every other review says the same thing. It says like great service. And so you're like, okay, well, these aren't real. Like, these aren't going to last long on Google. But yeah, well, in any other review sites, they crack down on that super quickly. It's not going to help your SEO. It's not going to help your local search ranking. And then the biggest thing is Google's super active about not only stripping your reviews, but like taking down your Google My Business listing as a whole. And then you just start over from square one. Not that it's a big issue, but yeah, they'll crack down on that. And they crack down on inauthentic reviews as well. So with services that are review gating or filtering, if you're manipulating your reviews in any way, they crack down on that.
So describe for us review gating for listeners who don't know what that means.
Like we're in second grade.
I know what it means. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so review gating is essentially asking a preliminary question before asking for a review to determine if your customer or patient had a good or bad experience. So a lot of times that's like a preliminary 5-star survey, or maybe it's just like, hey, was your experience with us good or bad? Then you filter the negative reviews to a private feedback screen, filter the positive experiences to Google. So that Google's pretty active, you know, their algorithms at least are active in determining where the reviews came from. So tracking the links. And if it came from a system that is doing that, you run the risk of getting your reviews stripped.
Oh, so that's bad to do? That's bad? Like, yeah. Let's just say I sign up with the company and they're like, oh, if it's good reviews, we'll send it directly to Google. But if they're bad, we'll take them, we'll send them to you, your email, and then you can... That's bad to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's another shift in the algorithm. Like, a couple of years ago, that wasn't bad, and now, like, Google is smarter than the review gating.
Can you do that on Yelp, too, or no?
Yelp's kind of a different monster. Yelp doesn't allow you, in their terms and conditions, they actually state that you're not allowed to ask for reviews, period. All your reviews are supposed to come completely naturally, where, you know, whatever that means, where, you know, your customers are just supposed to know that you have a Yelp profile and go out of the way to leave your review on Yelp. And if you are asking for reviews, they say that actually in itself violates their terms, and you run the risk of getting your review stripped. Wow. Now, obviously, it's hard or nearly impossible for Yelp to track that. So to combat that, Yelp just hides like 75% of your reviews anyway, unless you're paying them. Which is, maybe a full podcast topic on its own, trying to figure out how to make your reviews stick on Yelp.
Wow, man. So yeah, that's the hard thing. I can't remember if it was on Dental Hacks or another one, they actually got someone from Yelp on the show. And what it comes down to is you don't want anyone to review you on Yelp unless they're a Yelper who's reviewed other people and are like legit on Yelp.
Yeah.
Because unless that kind of person reviews you, it basically won't stick.
Yeah.
So
is Yelp kind of like a social media then? Like, oh, profiles that are active.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. What's hard, though, is, like, how do you become a Yelper? You have to start leaving reviews, you know, because people that leave a review on Yelp, they have a Yelp profile or they have a Yelp account. But Yelp just has some way of deciding, like, oh, this person hasn't left a review recently, and so therefore they hide it. Or if a person is leaving, you know, more positive reviews, they may weight that person differently than someone that leaves more negative reviews. A lot that goes into that, but yeah, that's kind of a hard thing to navigate as a business owner.
Wow, yeah.
Well, and I also feel like, if your Google reviews are great, you don't need to worry about Yelp so much.
Yeah.
You know, like at all. I mean, if you have like all 1-star reviews on Yelp, then yeah, maybe that's problematic and you just might want to focus on getting some normal reviews just so it doesn't look awful and weird. But yeah, for the most part, like, I think because it is so tricky to navigate, I'm just not going to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the approach we take too. I honestly had this exact same conversation with a practice owner today. They're like, I really want to improve my online presence. My Yelp reviews aren't great. She had like an overall score of 4.0 on Yelp with a couple of reviews. Mm-hmm. Google is always king when it comes to reviews and getting found online. People are going to search for Google over any other review site except for some maybe very specific areas like Southern California where Yelp is more prevalent.
Yeah, here.
Google's always king. And then like you said, it's just a matter. We just want to make sure that perception across all the review sites is consistent. So that's what we told her as well. It's just like, hey, let's just focus on Yelp until you get over that 4.0. We want to see a 4.5 or a 4.8 or close to 5.0, just so that perception is consistent across your review sites. Once that's there, then I'd say focus almost wholly on Google, because that's what's affecting your local SEO, getting found, ranking amongst your competitors and driving new patient traffic.
I know with like here, a lot of us, what we do, I'm not speaking for everybody in Southern California, but like food and stuff, yeah, we're like, hey, Yelp it, let's look at the pictures. Yeah. Right, like we want to see the
that's
the
a great food. Point
But when it comes to like, hey, let's look at pictures of like a dentist, now we never do that, so we just Google it, you know, like, hey, let's Google, see best dentist near me or dentist near me or whatever, right? You just say like, hey, dentist. So yeah, I can see how like Yelp will apply. I guess it just depends on the business, really, you know what I mean?
I think you're, that's a huge point, Michael. I think industry specific use, like, because I do the same thing. I use Yelp for restaurants, and like I don't use Google for restaurants, but I use Google for everything else. And so I don't look for an attorney on Yelp. I don't look for an accountant on Yelp. I use Google. Mm-hmm. So I think people should just kind of relax and just kind of take a deep breath and just let Yelp do its thing. And like you said, you can kind of focus on it just to get it to try and get it to behave well enough, and then focus your energy and life elsewhere, and specifically on Google. So mm-hmm. I love that you guys have that perspective. I also want to go back to the review gating, because I think people might have a fear of using Swell if you guys aren't gating. But now that Google's cracking down on gating, it doesn't matter. That's kind of what you have to do. But yeah, what would be your response to that? Like, oh, I don't want to send an invite to everyone because then I'm going to get the bad reviews too. What would be your response to that, Drew?
Yeah, that's a common question that we get. We usually, you know, before setting up a practice, we'll do kind of an audit of your online reviews, see what people are currently saying about you, how often you're getting reviewed, what your overall review score is. Once implementing Swell, we never see an increase in negative reviews. So the reason for that is what we found, you know, typically the loudest people that you know, talk about a business online are the ones that had a very polarizing experience, either an amazing experience or a negative experience. And those people that had a negative experience tend to be the loudest, where they're going to go out of their way to leave you a negative review. Those people may go out of their way regardless of whether or not we're inviting them through a link. They may leave you a review anyway. But if we're setting up a practice that already has like a 4.9 or a 5.0 on Google, you have nothing to worry about, because that's telling us that, you know, 99%+ of your current patients are happy, they're having a great experience, and those people are still going out of their way to leave you positive reviews. So Swell is just going to make it easier for a larger percentage of your happy patients to go out of their way to leave you a review. There are, you know, the occasional patients that you just can't please. They're going to be upset no matter what you do, or there was something that was out of their control. They couldn't find a parking spot, or maybe they ran into traffic on the way, or their teeth hurt, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Those people may leave you a bad review. They probably won't, But in the case that they might, or if you know they had a bad experience, we'll just help you. We make it as easy as possible for you to prevent those type of people from receiving any type of link to begin with. So we don't feel like that's not review gating. That's not asking a preliminary question. You can still choose, like, hey, with one click, I'm not going to send a review link to this person. So everything else is still automated. You can train your staff how to do that. You don't even have to log into Swell to block those people. You can just say, hey, block this person from ever receiving a review request. And then you've taken that objection out altogether.
You could almost, like, your morning huddle, you could just be like, hey, is there anyone that we, like, don't want to send a review request to? And then just, like, save those people in your system so you never have to do it again for that person.
I would kind of want to, like, know if people say that in the morning huddle. Like, who do we not want to send a review to? Why, though? Like, can you fix that problem? Or is that person just, like...
No, that's just the, like, the patient that is never happy no matter what anyone does. And you see that person show up on your schedule, you know your day is just going to suck that much more. There's just certain people that it's just like, maybe the reason they're coming to you is that they're crazy and you're dealing with their crazy. And so maybe they actually love you, but,
yeah, sure. They haven't left, you know?
Yeah. They're they still keep coming back.
Yeah. It's like that guy who, when you're a little kid and you like, you know what I mean? Like they like push a little girl or whatever, you know how your kids and you're like, he secretly likes her. Or she secretly likes him. You know what I'm talking about? How, like, they bully each other.
Your patient has, like, a dentist crush on you. Like, oh, even though I'm really mean to you and I say that I hate the dentist every time, I actually like you more than all the other dentists.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's how it kind of goes. So
they're going to end up leaving you the most disgruntled 5-star review you've ever seen.
No, and I also think the healthy 1-star, like, I am obviously a crazy person review is like my favorite 1-star review.
Yeah.
Like, if that's like when someone reviews a product on Amazon and they like give it a 1 for like shipping or coming broken.
Yeah.
Like, and it was obviously a shipping damage thing. I'm like, that was Amazon. That was the delivery. That was the circumstances of someone smashing your package. That was not the actual product itself. Yeah. So, but it just allows you to instantly discount that whole review and ignore it. And so when people see that, like, oh, this person gave you a 1-star review, but just by the wall of text and the capital letters, I can tell this person's crazy. Mm-hmm. And therefore they're like, oh, okay, then I guess this normal people come to this practice and occasionally you get a crazy person. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
Well, and that kind of brings up my next point too is, myself as a consumer, when I'm looking, like we're doing a lot of housing projects right now. I'm remodeling my house here in Utah. So I'm researching all of these different contractors. I'm trying to find the best ones in my area. The only thing that I care about are the reviews. But usually when I look at reviews, I'll go into the reviews, I'll filter by the most recent, and then I start skimming through all the positive ones until I can read the negative ones.
Yeah. 'Cause
those are really the ones I want to see. I want to see, A, like, why is this a negative review? Is it a legitimate concern? And then B, what is the business owner saying back to this? I'm immediately turned off, or, you know, by the response. If it's like a super defensive one, you know, trying to call out this person saying, well, you didn't pay your bills on time, or you didn't show up to your appointment, or whatever it was, that's what's discrediting the negative review and not the negative review itself. If it's a response that says, like, hey, we're so sorry you had a bad experience. Like, reach out to us. You know, how can we make it right? That's when I myself as a consumer, I'm like, okay, these are like reasonable people that I would want to work with that like can deal with
different situations.
You know, they care, exactly.
I don't know why. To me, it's like I agree, and sometimes it's backwards for me. If I were to see a review and the person like writes back, like the business owner says, well, you shouldn't have came doing this and this and blah, blah, and treated my employee like that. Good luck finding your new place. I would want to know who that is. I'm like, ooh, I like that. But that's me. You know what I mean?
You like the feisty ones.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, wow, that's that respect. You know what I mean? You don't let nobody. But I don't know. You know what I mean? I see your point, too, where it's like, oh, why did that employee? Oh, no. Actually, you know what? I'm so wrong. I remember, actually, we went to a review or a store where the employee was like fighting back every negative review, and that employee was like the nastiest person in the world. So we left a bad one too, and then they fought back with us, and then we're like, forget this person.
At that point, it's like a challenge. It's like, ooh, okay, let's rumble. Like, this, let's leave a bad review and just see what happens.
I'm so excited. No, yeah, never mind. I agree with you, Drew. Never mind. I take my thing back. Forget it. Forget what I ever said. That was a waste of time. Yeah, you're right.
Well, one thing that we do too, the reason we built Swell is we realized that there really aren't good tools out there, not just for capturing reviews and making it easy, but there's this kind of inherent disconnect between business or practice owners and their patients or customers. And that disconnect is like understanding what people actually think about you once they walk out the door, or understanding why they're not coming back, right? If you're not asking, you're never going to know. So a lot of businesses have no idea what's driving people to their business or what's driving people away. So we help practices too. Like if they've received a couple negative reviews in the past, we have some cool, really quick internal surveys that a practice can set up. So before even asking for reviews, we can say, hey, let's just start surveying your patients, capturing quick, like easy feedback from a large percentage of your patient base, and try to understand where either the disconnect is, what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong, so you can fix that as a practice. Because that's a challenge. Big businesses have that. You get surveys all the time that I never complete, but get surveys all the time from businesses trying to understand their experience, but there aren't really great tools out there for the small business. But that's, you know, your customers are everything. That's what's growing. That's what's generating new referrals, new patients, new traffic. It's really like, do your customers like you or do they not? So
yeah,
that's kind of like at the core of Swell. It's like improving your customer experience, improving your patient experience, and then making sure that that positive experience is reflected online.
Yeah, I like, I wouldn't even call it a survey. I would just call it like, because in reality, that's the thing that you can find out who your like your cheerleaders are or your marketers are, that are your patients, you know what I mean? And then you can find out the negative. I don't know, man, call it like analysis, or here's an audit or a scan, right? Or whatever, I don't know. And then just be like, oh, I want to send you this really quick scan, super fast or whatever. And then that way you know, like, oh my God, they love us. And then at the same time, you can ask for like, hey, do you have any colleagues, friends or families, you know what I mean, whenever they come in? So you can get referrals on top of that. I mean, but it's a good thing to know, like, who your cheerleaders are in your practice. I like that software. I like that a lot.
Sometimes it's identifying that maybe that one staff member or that just that one link in your practice that's kind of dragging the rest down. I hate saying this. We work with tons of practices. Most practices are just killing it. We love working with startups, independent practices, small businesses. Sometimes, though, that like gatekeeper at the front desk is not the best person to handle like new phone calls or dealing with people on the phone. And we just want to like shake the business owner. We're like, hey, if you just made this one change, I think your business would really improve. I really think you're going to start driving new traffic, but they may have no idea. So this is just a way to figure that out, you know?
Yeah.
No, this is great. One of the things you said, Drew, just now triggered a quote, that I just heard like in the last week that I really, really liked from Dan Pink, who wrote a bunch of books, but this is specifically from To Sell as Human, talking about sales. And he talked about how like 20 years ago, you go to a car dealership, they have way more information than you. And so that's where the whole phrase like caveat emptor, buyer beware, comes from.
Yeah.
Because you got to be careful. The other guy knows more than you do. But now something's switched where we know the consumers know so much more information, and they have the ability to go and post and review and share information back. And so it's switched from buyer beware to seller beware, caveat vendedor. And so it's like one of those things where this feedback mechanism, this feedback loop, can be a really powerful tool in your business if you let it be. But it's also something that it changes how you think about every interaction with the patient, because they can leave your review. And it's forcing us to provide better customer service, I think, in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, you nailed it. We always say, we say the same thing, like dentistry and other industries similar to dentistry are becoming more consumer driven than ever. So it's exactly what you said. Other industries used to be consumer driven, like, you know, the restaurant industry is a great example where it became more consumer driven, where more options became, you know, allowed the consumer to choose. That same thing is happening with dentistry or with other industries too, where it's not just, you know, the consumers aren't the ones just driving the decision on where to choose. They're also like deciding whether or not your business stays open, whether or not they're going to send their friends there, or whether or not they're going to tell their friends specifically not to go there. And yeah, you're right. That puts a different perspective on every single one of your customers or patients that walks in the door. You need to see those people as the driving factor behind your business. That's what's going to bring in new traffic. That's who's going to tell their friends and family about you. That's who's going to leave you your review online. It's not just one patient, you know. It's like it represents a huge potential amount of business for you over the lifetime that patient's coming back to you. So yeah, I totally agree.
Something you said, like, and you've kind of said it a couple of times, and so it's made me want to bring up, you've mentioned other industries. So we were talking about before the call how it's funny, like, I want to feel like dentistry is special, and like I want our consultants to be dental consultants. Like there's even like marketing people, we want dental specific marketing people, because we feel like, oh, the more they understand us and the less they box us in. But at the end of the day, a lot of the principles are the same. However, mm-hmm. I don't want my software services to be magic dental software services, because then you've got to slap the dental tax on top of this service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, everyone involved is now higher paid because they're related to dentistry and they could be paid to do something else within dentistry. So how much is your business dental versus non-dental?
Yeah, that's a good question. We don't focus only on dental. We have customers from basically every industry out there, not just in healthcare, but in retail, in service, even in software as well, not just location-based businesses too. But we do have a big percentage in dental, probably, 25 or so percent of our customers are in dental, just because we've seen such a good amount of traction in the dental space. But yeah, we're elsewhere as well. And exactly what you said, we've tried to keep like our pricing and our model standardized so that you're not having to pay that dental tax. Just to be more, there's no reason for us to charge more just because we're selling to a dentist versus, you know, selling to a plumber or service industry that may not have the marketing budget that a dental office has. Plus, I think we get the benefits too of learning, you know, dentistry is a little bit behind the times when it comes to technology. That's, you know, I hope I'm not offensive by saying that.
Oh, Richard. No, I'm just kidding.
A little, no. But they're catching up. Dentistry they're catching up. So we have the benefit too of seeing what other industries are doing, how they're trending, what's driving new business, what's driving reviews, what sites are relevant, all of that, and being able to apply that to dentistry as well to try to keep, you know, our dentists to use us as relevant as possible.
Well, I also love that, like, you can't, I feel like sometimes like a software service or a dental specific company will hit like a certain body of like, once they have 300 dentists paying their company every month, then like they don't have to be quite as hungry and innovative and cutting edge. And so like, whereas they looked really good 5 years ago, now they're kind of like, eh, you know, it's starting to like age and the person's kind of coasting on that. So I don't know. I feel like I've seen that with some online platforms, with some marketing platforms. So I like that you guys are forced to be cutting edge in every industry, and that you've got the volume to continue to develop and to split test, and you can take lessons learned from other industries and bring them back to dentistry for us.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's funny about all this too is like, we recognize that software is consumer driven too. There's like tons of options out there for softwares to choose from, especially in dentistry. I mean, you're bombarded by phone calls from software vendors. You go to events. There's so many options out there. Seems like a lot are doing the same things. Some are trying to introduce new technologies. A lot of our business comes the same way. It's through our own reviews, through our own referrals and word of mouth. And it's because, like, if our software wasn't working well, we'd have zero traction, because that's what helps us survive. We recognize, as a reputation management company, our reviews and our reputation, our customer experience is king. And that's the only way that we're going to grow. It's by hearing feedback from our customers, making adjustments to better fit their needs, and then growing from that. So yeah, we're in the same category. I mean, we're a startup too, just trying to grow, trying to stay relevant and constantly improve on our customer experience and then improve our product and then do that same thing. So there's this kind of this iterative loop that we're in too.
That's awesome. Can I share an experience here? So I've shared George's experience. Can I give you another review feedback experience here?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so I'm partnering with two dentists out of Arkansas, and I can't really talk about my side of the partnership and what we're doing here in Indy, because stuff is still wrapping up. But in the meantime, I've convinced them, hey, you guys need to check out Swell. You should try this at least in a few of your practices, because they're at 12 now. And they've admitted that, like, buying practices is their strong suit. They're not marketers at heart. Like, it's not something they're passionate about. It isn't something they've built systems around that they love. Mm-hmm. They're still, like, trying things out, figuring things out. And so I was like, okay, George loves this. Ashley loves this. It's the price is right, and the delivery is there. And so they're like, okay, let's switch over a few practices. They turn it on, and they start getting 1 to 2 reviews a day per practice. And I can't remember how many practices they did this in, if it was like 3 to 5 or something like that. Do you happen to know offhand, Drew?
I think we were at like 8 practices.
Okay.
Wow.
So Hunter basically is like, is this real? Like, he had his marketing manager look up the reviews and cross check those with patients of record in their practices, because he was like, are these even our patients? Like, are they paying for reviews from another country, like we were talking about earlier? Like, is this legit? And they just, like, were blown away by the results they were getting for what they were paying, and just, it was all very much above and beyond what they expected. They were pretty skeptical of me. They're like, well, okay, yeah, it's probably going to be about the same as any of these other services that they've used in the past. I can't remember if they used Legwork or Bird Eye before, but definite improvement, immediate. And, like, they're like, man, maybe it's just the way that they, you know, send the text and the email. They do it at night when the patient comes home, and they're trying to figure things out, but they were legitimately blown away and super skeptical until they realized, like, no, these are all our patients and they're actually leaving us reviews.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I love hearing that. I'm actually looking at one of those locations. I won't say the name, but before starting with us, over the 12 months before using Swell, they had 3 total reviews. 3 total reviews on Google. We plugged in Swell just over a month ago, and they received 41 new reviews. Here's the thing, all 5-star. So an average of over a 4.9 star on those reviews that are coming in. So like opening the floodgates, which is so cool, because it's like all of these patients were willing to leave them a review before. They just weren't going to go out of their way to do it. It's not like we were creating new patients and telling them, like, or incentivizing them or anything. It's just making it kind of like opening up that gateway and saying, like, hey, leave us a review, and this is how easy it is. And then it's just like this overwhelming response. What's going to be cool too is over the next couple of months, as they track where their new patients are finding them, I'm going to be pumped to see kind of the difference that those reviews are making, not just in their online presence, but, like, how does that translate into new dollars, new patients, you know, new revenue? That's going to be a cool thing to look at.
Wow, yeah. Wow, wow. What, if you don't mind me asking, both you guys, if y'all know this information or not, what was the company they were with before that only got them 3 reviews?
I think on some of these offices, they didn't have anything plugged in. So I think on some of them, they had a service, and on some of them, these were either one of them they just closed on like a month or two ago. And then some of the other ones, I'm sure they just like hadn't gotten around to plugging in something. So I would have to assume, like, if they only got three in the last 12 months, then that would be really sad if that was actually a review company asking.
Which brings like the topic what we were talking about also before we push record, about companies saying that they're partnered up with Google. What does that mean?
I mean, it's a great sales pitch. I can tell you that. It is
This comes from me. I'll own up to this. I had dinner with Michael Anderson from Wonderist at the Chicago Midwinter meeting, and I was kind of preemptively bragging about Swell, about George's experience. And, you know, I was like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, I don't know what their secret sauce is. I don't know how they're getting so much better of a response at the price point that they're doing this. But I'm like, you know, they just have to be doing a bunch of little things better. It's like the delivery, the efficiency of stuff. And one of his pushbacks was, well, if anyone would have access to better APIs or plugins or the ways of doing this, in theory, it would be Podium, because Podium has Google Venture money backing them. And so that's what they point to, is they're like, okay, yeah, Google supports us, so we're gonna have the cutting edge. What we were talking about before the call was the fact that Google Venture is like a completely, almost like a separate company within Google compared to the actual API plugins, compared to the actual SEO people. Like,
this engine, yeah.
They're silos, and just because you have funding from some of their venture group doesn't mean that you are like sleeping with the SEO review guys.
It's there's a difference. And this is not to say anything bad on Podium, because they're a great company. They've got a great product. They've been around for a while. They're not cheap, you know, but it's a good platform. And they're based just down the street from us as well. But yeah, one of their investors is GV, which was previously known as Google Ventures, not even currently known. So the name in Google, the Google name is no longer even in the name of GV, just as they've tried to separate that even further from Google. And GV invests in tens, if not hundreds, of software companies, Podium being one of their portfolio companies. So yeah, it is a cool sales pitch, and we hear that from practices all the time, just, you know, and I get it too. But yeah, no, it doesn't mean any preferential treatment towards Podium or any other platform. They're not, their reviews aren't more heavily weighted. It's not easier to leave a review on Google through Podium. There's no weight behind that other than the sales pitch.
So for example, the one, like the API plugin that I understand that's the most important one, which as I understand you guys have as well, is that when you get a text message link, if you are logged in on your phone and you click that link, they won't have to log in. And it takes them straight to the page with them logged in. So is that accurate on that you guys have that the exact same as anyone else with that plugin?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so it's the same link. If the person's logged in on their phone, if they have a Google login, they're not going to have to log in again and not go through that barrier of having to log in.
So, and that's where, like, I kind of changed my... He was correcting me. Like, Michael was saying... I'm sure that Swell is doing phenomenal things. If they're doing stuff differently, it's not maybe the technology that they're doing differently, or that they have better plugins or better API. And so then I changed what I was saying, and I said, okay, and forgive me, I'm going to talk prices here. So I think I think Podium's in like the 400s, like 450-ish. Yeah. And both Michael and I have a way to, we've got some promo links. You can click on Michael's. This is his show, so we want to support his show.
Wait, which Michael are we talking about right now?
You.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We both love Swell and are going to promote Swell moving forward. Yeah. And so the pricing, what's the normal pricing versus what people can get through our promotion?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So typically for a single practice location, our pricing is $179 per month with a $99 setup fee. So we still think, you know, that that's a really competitive and compelling price point.
Especially but yeah, compared to 450.
Totally, totally. Which, you know, thinking about how much your practice management software costs, you could be paying more for your reputation management tool than you're paying for the software that's running your practice, which
right.
is hard to justify.
Yeah.
So under $200 per month, you know, you can use us. We have monthly options as well, which makes us unique, where you can use us for a month or two just to prove it out and see that it works. Let us show you and prove to you that it works. We have very low turnover because of how effective our tool is. So that's why we're confident in doing that. But yeah, we have a special discounted rate through yourselves where that regular pricing for a single practice comes down to $149 per month. No setup fee. And that's if you were to use us on a month-to-month basis. And then obviously some additional discounts for like multi-location practices or bigger practices too.
Yeah. So, and thank you for offering that. And so my pitch has changed. So now I tell people, yes, Podium is a beautiful platform that works and they've got some sexy software on the user end of things. But if I can get Podium-like results, so if I can get even 95% of what Podium's doing for people in terms of reviews at a third of the cost, why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah.
And so that's where for me this becomes like a no-brainer that just I'm not focusing on marketing. Well, I guess I can't talk about what I'm doing at all in the future with anything that I may or may not own in the next month.
Richard sucks at keeping secrets, man.
I am so bad at keeping secrets. I will be using Swell in some capacity, even if it's just for my podcast. I don't know. But like, why would you not do this? Like, this is like the bare minimum. Like, if you're not doing anything else to market your practice, yeah, just freaking plug Swell in and let it run for 6 months, and then you can decide if you want to do anything else. Then you can learn how to ground market and move on from there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thanks for the plug. I'm just kidding. Yeah. So basically, just to reiterate, you guys get the listeners listening to either Shared Practices or the Dental Marketer podcast. Free account setup, right? And then a discounted monthly rate, right?
Yep.
Right. Sweet. And then
Thank you.
You get I don't know. Maybe Richard might shout you out on his podcast. I'll shout you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll do something too at the same time.
Yeah, hey, maybe a guest appearance on Swale once a week.
Yes. I cannot wait for the Swale show. I will review the Swale show the day it hits iTunes.
One star from Richard.
It will be 5 stars. Well, I'll create a separate account. I will also provide your first crazy review. That's 1 star for being the name Swale.
Swale. Hey, Drew, I went to googleventures.gv.com, right?
Yeah.
And I do see Podium, but I also see a company on here called Swell.
Oh, really?
Oh, never mind. It's for music, though. Audio news.
Yeah, I was going to say. Cool. That's news to me.
You're like, I haven't seen the check. Where's that? When's that going to hit?
Yeah, where's my side of the deal here?
It's swell.am. It's for audio news. The iPhone? I don't know what that is. Ah, never mind. That was weird. But yeah, that's good. That's interesting to know, though, because we do hear a lot of companies that say that, like, oh, we're backed by Google or we're backed by, like, Facebook or, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All these other things. So it's good to know that it's just, like,
funding. It's money. They're backed.
It's money. To the same point, we're venture-backed as well. So Swell's not going anywhere. Like, we're continually reinvesting in our product, making sure that it's top-notch, cutting edge, adding new features. Yeah, so we're more, you know, we want to be more than just a review platform too. There's a lot of other things we're doing to help you optimize your patient experience, better connect with your customers, introducing a couple new things here that I'll just, like, kind of tease. We're doing a text and marketing platform. Also working on an internal referral platform so you can actually turn those advocates into new referrals. So there are kind of some things to come.
And I'm going to both be excited for and also like push back just a little bit here. Like one of the things I really like about you guys right now is that you're a really clear offering that does one thing extremely well at a great price point.
Yeah.
And there's so many of these companies in this space that, like, okay, well, we offer patient reminders and reviews and this other thing. So they offer like three services and they're like pretty dang good at one of them. And the other two are just like, okay. And then this other company offers these other two services, but they're really good at another one. And so then yeah. You're like, it like overlaps. So I love how clean your current offering is. Yeah. And I'm also really excited that you're moving into referrals, because if like the thing that George loves about this is that it takes zero input from his team and the reviews are coming in. So he's having no trainings on asking for patient reviews. None of the chair time is taking talking about reviews. There's no awkward conversation or you know, getting a team member who sucks at asking for reviews to try and do it awkwardly. Turn around and do the same thing with referrals would be really awesome to somehow now, like, because that's the next best thing is like a Google review builds trust before a patient gets here. So it's a great almost mm-hmm. like external referral, but like a internal referral where a patient is referring a friend and there's trust built that way is even stronger. And so if you can somehow automate that process, that's really compelling to me as well. So I'm excited. I hope you can destroy internal referrals as well as you're destroying Google reviews, because then it'll be just as easy to continue to say, just plug in Swell. It's like the obvious thing to do.
Yeah. Dude, if you can get down referrals and also get down like where people are like, oh, get Swell CX to not have any more no-shows or cancellations. Oof! You guys are bajillionaires. I'm just
that's true.
But I don't know. See, that's where I'm going to push back, and I'm going to say, less better is my big thing. But that's okay.
Richard, jeez, man, I'm just kidding.
No, you almost can't have everything. That's how we feel too. It's like let's nail one thing before we move on to the next, and we have no ambition to like take over the space. We know that like. There's products out there that do what they do really well, so there's no reason for us to like half-ass it, you know.
Yeah.
We'll stay in our lane, do what we do really well, and everything that we're building, we feel like are natural extensions to that. It should be all about generating new patient traffic, so it's just an extension, kind of building upon that to make our product stickier, and obviously, you know, hoping to nail the automation too. So it's totally hands off, and you just see the benefit of it on the back end.
Yeah, that's true. You're right, man. You're right. Alrighty, guys. Is there anything we should have asked but we didn't?
Do we have any like shortened URLs or are your URLs for? They'll be in the show notes. They're just scroll down, whatever your phone or if you're listening on a computer because you're like that. Scroll down to the show notes and choose Michael's link to get Swell, and then Michael will get the credit for sending you over.
You can choose whichever link. Richard, choose your link too. Man.
Well, I'm very grateful to be on your show at any time, Michael. I love you, and so I just want you to get credit.
Drew's like, I don't care which link y'all pick, man. Just pick it.
Hey, you guys can call me directly for all I care.
Perfect.
I know, yeah. But yeah, guys, thank you, Richard, man. Always so willing to record, even though it's like, what time is it over there, man, for you?
Oh, it's only 10:30. I've done podcasts at 4 a.m. and I've done them past midnight, so this isn't bad.
Jeez, man. Yeah. What about you, Drew? What time is it where you're at?
8:30.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're only an
still
hour.
Still at the office.
Dude, go just home. I'm just kidding.
That midnight hour. No, it's great, though. Thanks for having me. I hope this wasn't too like infomercially, you know. I hope that your listeners got some good information outside of just Swell. So I don't know. That's my hope.
Yeah.
We try to be more like educational. When people call us, we actually do really want to help. So hopefully we came out that way.
Well, and I apologize. I think I tried to be the infomercial, and I think you provided the value. So hopefully any annoyance will be directed at me. I'll take the fall.
Got it.
Alrighty, guys, man. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Don't forget to go check out Shared Practices, the podcast. And also don't forget to go in the show notes below and click on whichever link you guys want to click on to get you guys will get your setup fee waived and also a discounted price for – Swell CX. So go check them out, click on any link. And thank you, Drew. Thank you, Richard, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys soon.